Tim Skubick is one of the few people I know I can go to, and he can try to make some sense out of all this craziness. How are you, Tim?
PC, doing well.
We had the Lieutenant Governor on the program yesterday, and he is optimistic about the building of a bridge in, seeing that this gets put back on the front burner after we thought it was going to be put on the back burner. And he told me on this program yesterday that the Maroons will have an opportunity to be one of the bidders in that. And I point blank asked him, really? And he assured me right on this program.
Well, actually, to put that in perspective, they've been saying that all along. They said that up on the island, that there is going to be people in the private sector will be able to bid on this bridge, and there's no reason why the Maroon people couldn't do that. The question is, would they want to bid against themselves, to create competition? But that has been in the mix for a while.
Well, when we talk about why the conflict between this administration and the Maroons from your perspective?
Well, it's pretty simple. The Maroons don't want the competition, and the governor thinks building this new bridge between Detroit and Windsor would stimulate international trade, with apparently a lot of business coming in from China into Canada that would then flow into the United States through Detroit. And he sees this as a jobs opportunity, and the Maroons see it as just an opportunity to lose part of their revenue base. And so it's a good old-fashioned us versus them, and the bottom line is money.
But this has gone personal, especially from the Maroons' end.
Well, not so much personal about the governor as it is personal about the project, I think. They have spent a boatload of money on those TV commercials. It's hard not to exist in Michigan and not having seen the commercials. What the governor takes umbrage to is that they think the ads are misleading. He's very careful not to say that they're lies, but they are misleading, and that's part of what they are now doing. And Mr. Calley, I'm sure, told you this yesterday. They're taking the next 2 months, this month and August, to try to undo what's been done on the disinformation standpoint and to try to get this thing teed up so they can take it on in the fall.
I wanted to talk about a story in your blog, and I wanted to make sure you wrote it. You talked about, I hope the head of a secondary school principals association does not see immediate need for new safeguards after they've been found down in Georgia to be cheating on their ATC exams as far as reporting what really happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I wrote that on a blog.
You didn't write that? Well, it's on Scoop's blog today. It's a story that's on the front page of USA Today. Apparently, administrators and teachers are cheating in reporting the scores. And I was going to ask you.
I'm familiar with it. I didn't know what venue it was in. I write for a couple of entities. I just want to make sure what I'm talking about here. Yeah, the guy's name is Jim Ballard. He runs the Secondary School Principals Association. And in the high schools in particular, he says, this is not a problem. The ACT test, which is the test that they take, is highly guarded and under lock and key by a national organization. It's when you get into the MEEP exam in the lower grades where the possibility for fiddling around and changing the scores and things of that nature is a threat. What happened in Atlanta involved more than just a couple of teachers and students, apparently, based on the reports that we've seen over the past couple of days. So a teacher addressed a whole group of 50 kids and helped them rewrite the exam, which probably is a little over the top. But they think that there are enough safeguards here in Michigan that a new law is not needed to govern this.
Tim, you also write in your blog, you talk about casinos, and just reading the information, how much revenue Detroit's even beating out Reno, Nevada.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Reno's a nice little town, but apparently we got a lot of lookers and no players in Reno compared to the city of Detroit. It continues to be a fascinating thing. What struck me was the demographics. I mean, everybody knows that senior citizens just inundate these casinos. Whenever I have a gig up at the casino in Mount Pleasant, I always, as a matter of course, just kind of walk through the place to see, who's there and what are they doing. doing, and a lot of smoking going on, a lot of senior citizens, a lot of grannies, and a lot of my viewers. senior citizens, they are very much involved. But yeah, it's kind of fascinating, isn't it?
I think it's interesting how you talk about 25% have household incomes between 35 and 60 G's a year, yet there goes the cash.
Well, there is the allure, you know, that if you're struggling, you know, boy, if I hit one slot, my world is going to be solved. And boy, there is human nature in all its glory or in all its degradation. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. Michigan, we'd love to play our lottery games, even though the odds are just unbelievably lousy. But we do that, and we love our casinos apparently as well.
They need to have my wife around, because she would just slap me on the back of the head and said, "What are you thinking?"
That's why God gave us wives, Tony, among many other reasons.
But just talking about that, you discuss how Minnesota has 40 casinos, but Michigan is right there with 24. There were some efforts to put one here in Lansing, although that effort failed. But I know there's some other efforts to get more around the state.
Well, there are. I mean, the Indians are the tribal folks are the ones that are really on the cutting edge of this stuff. And apparently the Obama administration, I'm trying to remember where the heck I read this, wants to liberalize this process and reduce it down. I can still hear the words of former Governor John Engler: "We don't want to turn Michigan into the Las Vegas of the Midwest," but I think we're about a half a sandwich away from being there.
Whenever someone comes out of the blue to run for political office, I can remember you said the same thing about Rick Snyder, and look what happened. But most of these folks kind of fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. When we think about Thaddeus McCotter, I love the line in your blog: "Thaddeus, who is running for what?" Nice line.
Well, you know, it is Thaddeus who. I mean, if you're from the Livonia area, and I covered this guy when he was in the state legislature, and he is a character. He is. I mean, you should get him on your show and talk to him, because he's got. I looked at his videotape on YouTube last night of his announcement at a Freedom Festival down in, I can't even remember where it was, but there were threatening thunderstorms coming into the area. And he says, "I don't want to keep you very long because I don't want you to get electrocuted." Okay, it's a good line, all right? And then he proceeds to play rock guitar on the stage, and I don't think he got electrocuted. But look, it's a long shot. But you can't summarily write him off just from the get-go, because people went Barack Ohu, and the guy's president. You know, so stranger things have happened. It's an uphill climb. He has very little money. He's got about $500,000, no name ID, but he does have the passion in his gut to do this thing. And on another little side in that tape from yesterday, he had two of his three kids there, and he sarcastically, and he is sarcastic, said, "Oh, my kids are just thrilled to be here, you know." My props standing behind me. My wife has no choice. She has to be here, but the kids could have been playing with their Game Boys. So he will be, I'll tell you what, he'll get a lot of free media, because he's a good quote machine and he's good copy.
I wanted to ask you about the fireworks bill. I know Rick Jones was behind that, and after a Holt woman was severely burned. Do stories like that have any effect on bills?
I think at some point this is going to happen. I don't know what the numbers are of how many people head to Ohio and Indiana to buy their fireworks, but based in our neighborhood, half the population must have been down there to buy this stuff, because it was exploding the other night. It's right now the problem is with the big box people, according to the House sponsor, Harold Hogue, who's really the guy who started this thing. The big box people want to have, as soon as the legislation passes, they want to have the opportunity to start selling the stuff. And if the local city council doesn't like it, they have to undo it. What the representative says, it ought to be the other way around. The local city council should approve it first, and then the big box could sell the stuff. That is the stumbling block right now, and they're going to tackle that in the fall.
What are you working on for Channel 6?
We have a second part series on our review of the first 6 months of Rick Snyder in office, and we're taking a look at the Democratic reaction to Mr. Snyder. And it's let's just say it's not very good.
All right, Tim, we'll be watching.
Tony, always a pleasure talking to you, man.